Alfred Nobel, born in 1833, was a Swedish chemist, engineer, and industrialist who became incredibly rich from his invention of dynamite. The story goes that when his brother died, the leading newspaper in Stockholm made a mistake. They thought Alfred Nobel had died and they printed his obituary. Can you imagine that, reading your own obituary? He was most alarmed to read his in the next morning paper, as it stated that he was the most destructive man in all of Europe because he had caused more people to die than any other man in Europe. Horrified by people's view of him, let's face it, would not nice to be nice to read that you're the most destructive person in the whole of Europe, Nobel turned his attention to doing good. He created the Nobel Prize for Peace and for medicine and other sciences, the prize for which he is now remembered. Hey, that's what I remember him for. I didn't even know about the dynamite thing. Apparently, he bequeathed his fortune to establishing the Nobel Prize. He had a chance to influence the world for good rather than harm. It's amazing that he was actually surprised by the fact that they called him the most destructive man when he invented dynamite. But anyway, he hadn't even thought of it. When life hands you lemons, they say, make lemonade, or even better, make lemon meringue pie, as Pastor Vicky does so well. Yeah, that's better, isn't it? This old saying beautifully captures the concept of turning bad into good. Turning bad into good. Let us pray. Lord, you are, as we have sung this morning, a good, good Father. Nothing comes close to your goodness. Show us your way this morning. Help us to live your word and your goodness. Amen. We all love to see something bad being turned into good. I enjoy watching those transformation shows like The Biggest Loser because it's inspiring to see people lose excess weight, get fit, have a haircut, a shave, and dress up in complimentary style of clothing, and wow, they look like a totally different person, confident, happy, and well. I also love to witness animal rescues, when selfless, caring, beautiful people come to the aid of suffering animals like street dogs and turn the bad that others have inflicted into good. Let's have a look at some of those photos you've got there, Levi. Is it Levi? Look at the transformation. Bad at the top, good at the... Does that do your soul good? Looking at that, that's beautiful. Can we have the next one, please? Look at that. Bad into good. You can't believe it's the same dog, can you? Isn't that amazing? I often get prison ministry videos too on my YouTube feed, and it's wonderful to witness really, really bad people turning their lives around to become good, and not just to get out of jail. I like the ones that still stay in and remain good. Good for God, good for themselves, and good for the world. Turning bad into good in people is awesome because it takes the most awesome God of the universe to do it correctly. This is a theme that runs all the way through the Bible. Maybe this is one of the many reasons why I love to read the Bible so much, because the Bible is rich with stories and teachings about this transformative process. In the beginning, God made everything good. He didn't make bad, he made good. And I know this because God spoke about the quality of his newly created world and he said that it was very good. And by the way, God's standards are extremely high. When he says very good, we can't come close to matching that ever in our own strength. We just can't. So the earth was very good. But Satan was stupidly given access by mankind to this marvelous world, and he brought bad. Very, very bad. Satan's evil ways gives meaning to the expression, my bad. My bad. Anyone here ever use the expression, my bad? My bad is, oldies wouldn't have used it. Okay, it's the young ones. It took me a while to get used to this idiom, as it's bad English to say my bad. I was thinking, why? Why are you saying it that way? But the truth is, we do have plenty of personal bad. My bad and your bad, and so does Satan. There is nothing good in him. He's all bad. Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, the thief, this is the next scripture, Satan comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his mission, people, to kill, steal and destroy. That's bad. Nothing good in that. And Jesus said about himself, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's very, very, very good. They're two opposites. Satan, death. Jesus, life. Satan, bad. Jesus, good. The mission of God is turning something bad that literally smells like death into good. The smell of death is not nice, is it? Actually, we smelt something in the car on the way to church. It was just going over the bridge, and Luke said, oh, that smells like something's died. I said, yeah, it does. Death has a horrible stench about it. Jesus is undoing the destruction of satanic powers and is using more than just an aerosol sweet smell. God is very much into serious transformation. I'm not even going to say recycling. He does more than just recycle. He transforms. Show pictures of those dogs again, Luke. Have you got them there? Have a look. This is what God does to us on the inside. He turns the bad of sin into the purity of the love of Christ. It's sin that got that dog there. Sin of people that neglect animals. But he turns it around. And as a result, the Bible is chock-a-block full of narratives where adversity turns into prosperity. And these aren't just stories. They're lessons and true accounts on how we can transform our own struggles with faith as our guiding light. Consider Joseph's story, for instance. He was sold into slavery by his very own brothers, a decidedly bad situation, if there ever was one. And he continued to find himself facing false accusations and imprisonment. But did he wallow in self-pity? Did he just sit in a hole and say, it's all over. I cannot go on any longer. Nope. He believed in God's plan for him all along and ultimately rose to become second in command in Egypt, saving many lives during a severe famine. Come on, that's an amazing story. It's an amazing. And when confronted by his worried brothers years later when their father had died and they thought, he might take his vengeance on us now for what we did because dad's no longer around. Joseph said to them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. That's a beautiful scripture. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. God didn't cause the harm. His brothers did. They were rotten sinners. They had a hugely dysfunctional family. But God was able to turn the wretched circumstances around for his glory in Joseph. Hallelujah. This narrative shows how what seemed like a terrible misfortune turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Then there's the story of Job. Dare I speak about Job in church when we're talking about God's goodness and blessings? Yes, I dare. Now, talk about someone who had it tough. This man lost everything. His wealth, his children, even his health was stripped away from him. If anyone's reading Our Daily Bread right now, we're up to the book of Job. And by the way, Vicky and I are really loving it up. I think it's one of the first years that I'm going, wow, 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 as I'm reading it. God speaks all the way through it. He had, his health was even taken away, stripped away from him. Yet through all this suffering, he kept his mouth from speaking bad about God. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. In fact, I just read the scripture this morning that his wife told him his breath stank. She did. He smelled of death. Just curse God and die. But he didn't. The end game? His fortunes were restored twofold. He got back twice as much as he had lost. Hallelujah. And let's not forget Paul and Silas, who found themselves beaten up. I'm talking beaten up and tossed into prison for preaching the gospel. Can you imagine a whole group of soldiers, Roman soldiers coming at you, beating you up? We're talking tough guys who are used to hitting people and they do it really, really well. I couldn't really beat anybody up, but they could. They were tossed into prison after being beaten up because they preached the gospel. They could have given up right then and there. They could have seriously thrown in the towel saying, I've had enough of this. I can't take it anymore. But instead, they chose to pray and sing hymns loudly to God in the middle of the night, ministering to all the adjoining prisoners. And what happened next? An earthquake shook open their prison doors. Consequently, the jailer and his whole family were saved. The prisoners had an incredibly entertaining night. And the authorities were begging Paul and Silas to leave town. It's an awesome, true account. Can you just imagine? All those prisoners would never, ever forget that for the rest of their lives. In fact, I dare say they probably got saved by Jesus after witnessing that. So you see, folks, I bet they were listening from that point on for any other person coming into prison, hoping that they're going to praise God. Maybe they started praising God every night just in case it happened again. So you see, folks, Joseph turned betrayal into an opportunity to save nations. Job transformed immense personal loss into double restoration. Paul and Silas converted persecution into freedom. They were being persecuted. They were in prison. But the prisons of this world do not take away your freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. They just don't. And none of your circumstances should take away your freedom in Christ. They all turned bad into good. It was no longer my bad. They all turned bad into good. In the New Testament too, we see Jesus teaching about transforming adversity into advantage. Take the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus instructs followers to respond not with an eye for an eye, but with love and forgiveness. Really? That's a hard one. Converting hostility into opportunity for growth in character and spiritual maturity. Yet another example comes from Paul's letter to Romans, where he encourages believers, saying in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. He doesn't say and I know. He says, we know. How does he know the church knows it? Because the church were under persecution. And he knew who he was speaking to. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The prerequisite is that we love God. How do we show our love for God? We love other people. We care about other people. We obey God's word and we live for Him. It underscores that the belief that even the harshest of suffering can be used by God for His goodwill. Satan can throw all his arsenal at you for your bad and his bad. But God can turn it all around for His good and your good. Because, by the way, His good is your good. His good is definitely your good. Just like Satan's bad is always your bad. These biblical examples aren't just ancient tales, but timeless lessons on resilience, perspective shift, and faith amidst adversities. They are timeless lessons on resilience. Keep on going. Perspective shift. We do not think like the world thinks. And faith amidst adversities. I'm believing what God says about this, not what anyone else says about this. Not what that we're being told what the world thinks all the time. All the time. There's so much bitterness and hatred out there. We are hearing what the world thinks and how it thinks and why it thinks. We think differently, people. We're based on the Word of God. These stories, they inspire us to look beyond immediate hardships and believe in the bigger picture, where every cloud has a silver lining. Every dark cloud for a Christian has a silver lining. Could I have that next picture, Luke? Isn't that beautiful? The other Sunday, Luke and I were driving home after we'd locked up church. And even though there'd been a weather forecast on a front coming through bringing wintry weather, we were in awe of the clouds that were lined up in front of us. We're driving down that brilliant Tonkin Highway, and there were the clouds. They were stunning, absolutely stunning, with the silver lining that was framing them, because the sun was positioned in just the right place behind the dark clouds. Make sure your Saviour is positioned in the right place in your life, because regardless of the dark clouds, you will always see the silver lining. Your faith is the silver lining. The silver lining is the hope of our salvation in every single situation that you face. There are so many more biblical figures which serve as a spiritual inspiration. David went from shepherd boy to king. Was that an easy transformation? No. He spent years on the run. He was hated by the king of Israel. The king of Israel was jealous of David. And you know what? Some of you have got people that are jealous of you. And that's not nice. It's not nice to be the point of someone's jealousy. It's a horrible thing. Well, King Saul was so jealous, he wanted to kill David. David went from this beautiful shepherd boy minding his own business, enjoying the sheep in the fields, to being the king of Israel. His life was transformed, but he went through a lot of difficult processes to get to that point of being the king of Israel. And not only was he the king of Israel, but he was the best king that Israel had ever seen. The best king in the whole history of Israel. Ruth, Pastor Vicky's favorite female character, transformed from widowed foreigner Come on, this is Israel times, ancient Israel. She was a foreigner, widowed foreigner, just a lowly woman, a lowly widow, to esteemed ancestor of Jesus. She was like the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- or what? Peter evolved from an impulsive fisherman to an amazing apostle whose very shadow once caused people to be healed as he passed by. Can you imagine that one? The apostle who always put his foot in it, who was always speaking out of turn, he became an amazing source of healing miracles for people around him. You know, the word evolved, because we're Christians, we don't like to hear about people saying that there's evolution, but you can apply the word evolved to God, because that's what he does with us. He transforms us into something better. Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, was bent on making the early church suffer for their faith in Christ. He had glee when he saw Christians suffering, when Christians were dying, when Christians were being put into prison, men and women being put into prison because they believed in Jesus. But he ended up suffering like no other apostle for the extension of the kingdom of God, and he was grateful to God for the privilege. He was grateful for the privilege. Hallelujah. All these transformations weren't spontaneous or easy. They were born out of challenges and adversity. It was during their most trying times that they found their strength and purpose, because God was with them every step of the way. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, "That is why, for Jesus, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." He saw his weakness as an asset. He did. He saw his weakness as an asset, because that's when God could truly move. Biblically speaking, then, tough times don't just happen to us as Christians. They can happen for us. I'm saying that again. Tough times don't just happen to us. We are not victims. They don't just happen to us. They can happen for us. Satan sends the evil our way, and he gets so mad when that evil just ends up making us stronger in Jesus. It's shaping us into better versions of ourselves while equipping us with invaluable life lessons along the way. God doesn't promise an obstacle-free path. You notice that? Instead, he assures us of his presence throughout our journey, turning what might seem like roadblocks into stepping stones towards victory. This is why the Bible comes in. You know, when I was reading that the other day, I was thinking, when I was a little girl, I was hopeless at sports. Still am. Still not good. But when I was really young, we were Poms, and you know, we didn't do much outside, and no running, nothing. So when it came to times for the school carnival coming, and we were expected to run and do the hurdles. Can you remember the hurdles? And you'd have to run and jump over them, and you can hit your legs and bruise your legs. I was terrified. I thought, there's no way I'm going to jump that hurdle. And so do you know what I used to do? Run around the hurdle. And because of that, I never learned how to jump hurdles, ever. But there were some other good Aussie kids there. I was becoming an Aussie. I was transforming into an Aussie. They just jumped them, and they got better and better and better. If you don't jump, you're not going to learn how to jump. God doesn't promise an obstacle-free path, but he assures of his presence throughout our journey. This is where the Bible comes in. It offers wisdom on transforming bad into good, essentially overcoming evil with kindness, love, joy, peace, patience. Who brings that into our life? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equips us for us to face evil with his fruit. In essence, biblical teaching encourages us to rise above the pettiness and bitterness that often surrounds us. It pushes us towards becoming better versions of ourselves, ones who are kinder, more forgiving, more understanding. Who wants to be kinder? I do. I want to be more forgiving, more understanding, and I'm hoping this year I'm better, more better. That's a great English word, isn't it? More better. Better than what I was the year before. We should all be getting better at these things because we are being transformed. Yes, we are changed when we receive Jesus as our Saviour, but we haven't arrived. There's work to be done. Some people get saved and they're still doing this, damaging their bodies. But in time, God deals with it, doesn't he? He deals with it. Well, he should. He deals with it. Some people might drink. Drink and, you know, keep reaching for that. But in time, as you're transformed through the word of God, Leonie, that's true, isn't it? We saw you transformed. Hallelujah. And what transformed you, Leonie?
Jesus.
Jesus transformed her. He changes us. But here's the thing, applying these biblical teachings doesn't mean being passive or a pushover. In fact, Christians have to be the toughest people in the world. It calls for strength. Strength to maintain love when surrounded by hate. Strength to remain patient amidst provocation. Strength to continue doing good even when others aren't reciprocating. And that's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. So next time you encounter some difficulty or negativity, remember Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm going to read that again, and I want you to receive this. You receive it. It's an easy little sentence to read. It's a different sentence to apply. Listen to me. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In fact, you can read it with me. You ready? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we want for our children, isn't it? We want our children to overcome evil by doing good. And sometimes that's not an easy path for our children. When we're teaching them the Christian way, it can be the hardest thing for them to do, but is the best thing for them to do in eternity and here on this world, in this world. This scripture is a powerful tool to transform your life and the world around you. It's crucial to remember that turning bad into good isn't just an abstract concept. It's a guiding principle found throughout the whole Bible, offering comfort and motivation in every difficult situation. The Bible invites every Christian without excuse to transform their hardships into opportunities for growth. Who's going through a bit of a hard time right now? Anybody? Hard time? Oh gosh, you're doing really well, everybody. All of us go through hard times. There's things that upset us all. And according to the Bible, it starts with faith and perseverance. Let's read James 1, verse 2 to 4. I'm coming to an end very quickly. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James here encourages believers to view trials as chances to develop steadfastness, promising that persistence will lead to spiritual maturity. You know, spiritual maturity is a good thing. Aging maturity is horrible. But spiritually, we actually get more and more beautiful. That's a good thing. And as Christians, we can recognize that in each other, that we're getting more beautiful as we get older because we're becoming more like Jesus. In daily life, this could look like maintaining hope during setbacks or finding lessons in heartbreaks. Hallelujah. It may seem challenging at first. After all, it's not easy embracing pain as a stepping stone towards betterment. Yet Scripture assures us that any struggle faced today can yield rich rewards tomorrow. Amen. Also important is the power of forgiveness, which is an act symbolizing ultimate transformation from negative emotions such as anger and resentment into love and understanding. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." The Scripture advises us to be kind-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God forgave us. The Bible encourages its followers to transform adversities into opportunities. Faithful perseverance paves the way for spiritual maturity. Faithful perseverance paves the way for spiritual maturity. Acts of forgiveness symbolize personal transformation from negativity to positivity. So let's wholeheartedly embrace these teachings and strive for positive transformations in our lives. Amen. Not only when times are tough, but also during moments of peace and joy, because it's then we truly learn what it means to turn bad into good. When life throws you lemons, do you make lemonade or lemon meringue pie? Look harder. He's there. Can you see Jesus in the silver lining behind the nasty cloud storms? The sun is there. Start focusing on the Creator of good things. That's what we've been singing about this morning. Come on, every song had good in it, the word good. And all that good was God. He wants to continue the creation of good things in you. If you've been struggling with adverse circumstances and you know your response as a Christian has not been good, and there's been a lot of my bad on your part instead of God's good, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that the power of God shakes you so much that you commit your life to the process of God's transformation. Because God can't make you transform. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. God cannot make you transform. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. You should not be growing in bad. You should not grow to be mean, grumpy old people. Look at our beautiful brother Kevin. He's not grumpy. Look at my dad. He's not grumpy, apart from when he preaches sometimes and people fall asleep. But that's only that. They're not grumpy because Jesus is in their hearts. That's so cool. That is so good. None of us want to be grumpy old people, do we? We want to show the younger people, we want to pass the banner on to them, don't we? We want to show them this is how you live to grow old. Allow Jesus to transform your life every single day of the week. Let's try and do it Jesus' way. Amen. I don't always do it God's way. There's a couple of things in the last week that I thought, I blew that one. I'm sorry, God. I'm going to do it your way next time. That's the way you do it. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm just going to do this one your way next time. And there will be a next time, I can assure you. There will be a next time. You need to be transforming into good with every negative circumstance that comes your way. Amen? That was very wordy. But it's the truth of Christians. We've got a work to do. God's doing a work in us, but we've got to allow Him to do that work in us. Would you please close your eyes and bow your heads? I know God's spoken to a lot of people today. He's spoken to me as I was putting this together. Lord, I just thank You for the word that You have given to us. But Lord, it shows us very clearly that You transform anything into good. You are a good God and You want us to live like You. So Father, I pray this morning that this word will be grabbed hold of in every one of our hearts, and that Lord, You will shake us up to listen to You, not to listen to the world, not to listen to other philosophies, but to listen to You and Your word. Help us to walk Your way. No matter what comes our way, no matter what the world throws at us, I pray that every circumstance of Satan will only end in us being transformed into Your glory. So Lord, for this congregation, as I move my hand over it, I pray from the youngest child to the oldest person here, that Lord, You will bless them all, You will speak to us all daily, and we will all strive to live the life that You have called us to live in You. And may people notice the change, that Lord, this time next year, we will be different because we're being obedient to Your word. And Lord, for those times that we do fall, I thank You for Your grace and mercy. Show us so very clearly when we're doing things wrong, that we might repent and say sorry and do it differently next time. Father, I thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit that enables us to do the right thing. So help us to listen to Your Holy Spirit. Help us to heed His word. And Lord, we just thank You for these beautiful songs that we sing in this church. I pray that these songs will indeed be our reality. In Your precious name, amen. Amen. Amen.